Hello, hello. Welcome to Reality TV. This is actually about the third time that I have recorded this intro because my microphone hates me today. And you might hate me after I talk about some of the shallow end of the news that I must talk about because, boy, there is a lot of hypocrisy going on in the world today. And I'll go into some of it here. Some of it I'm going to save for Patreon because it's like an itch I cannot scratch. I'm going to ask you to scratch my back if I'll scratch yours. Circle of Trust on Patreon bonus episode this week. We got to talk about some things. And speaking of Patreon, thank you so much to Jen, Holly, and Margaret. Your stickers are going to be out to you shortly. For those of you who are still waiting on your stickers, I have not forgotten about you. I am not going to blast the name of the company that I get my stickers from just yet because they are trying to make good. I had all my stickers ordered, ready to go, and they fucked up the order big time, and I refuse to send out anything that is less than perfect to you. So trust me, I have not forgotten about you. I am just trying to kick some ass behind the scenes so that what my babies want, my babies are going to get. So they are on their way to you. Again, Jen, Holly, and Margaret, love ya. And welcome to Patreon. If you want to check out Patreon bonus episodes, you get free stickers and keychains, early episodes without the ads and bonus episodes, go on over to patreon.com/realityvpod or check the show notes. Now, I want to jump into quite a few things before we get into our shows this week. One big hit for me this past week was that I finally went to go see Hamilton. If you are lucky enough to live in or near a city where Hamilton is currently playing, you must go see it. I brought my daughter, who is really into music and history especially, and I don't want to say I was skeptical going into it, but I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to musical theater. You know, I love Les Mis. I thought that was my absolute favorite, but Hamilton is just, it's incredible. I didn't know how I was going to be able to understand the rapping part of it, but I did, and I have to go see it again. A little tip if you are, listen, none of us really have, what, $400 to drop on tickets. I was able to get tickets in Chicago on Ticketmaster, of course, but there's different categories of tickets. I don't know if this is the same for every city, but Chicago in particular, the theater, there's like poles and stuff. I was able to snag like 70 some dollar tickets. They were second to the last row in the uppermost balcony, but they were still incredible. I don't think you can go wrong. But there is an app, it's just Hamilton. If you go to the app store and search for the Hamilton app, there's little games, trivia, karaoke, but there's also a little portion in the app that says lottery. Click on that and it will come up all the different cities that Hamilton is playing in. So what, New York, is it San Francisco, maybe? Los Angeles, Chicago, Providence, Rhode Island, New York, and it'll send you a reminder every day to enter the lottery. You just have to press enter now, and you'll be entered in a lottery to win tickets. I know three people that actually won tickets. You win a pair of tickets. You just have to pick them up like the day before or something like that. So if you want to go see Hamilton or you want a little reminder, maybe you're even not that into it, but hey, you'll take two free tickets, download the Hamilton app, and I mean, what's the big deal? Go for it. So yes, loved Hamilton. Big miss for me this week. I finally made my way to Stan's Donuts in Oak Brook, Illinois. And although I've heard just nothing but the best about Stan's Donuts, not that impressed. I love a good donut. I know a good donut. Maybe it was just a dud that I had, but the buttermilk bar, so-so. I mean, it was good. I certainly finished it. And of course I finished it because it was like $2 or $3 for a donut, and I'm not going to waste that. I'd rather gain a pound than waste $2 or $3. So yeah, so-so. Maybe I got the wrong kind. Maybe you can recommend something to me. Maybe one of you can recommend your own bakery that you own. I'm like secreting this out. Do any of you own a bakery and you make donuts? How blessed would I be? I thought I was blessed because I have two Dunkin' Donut locations equidistant from my front door. Like, I have timed it. I know the mileage. But wow, if one of you makes your own donuts and you want to send me some, please do. I'm partial to a vanilla Long John. I love a glazed. I love a buttermilk. You know, Dunkin' Donuts used to make, we used to call it the anchor. I've probably talked about this several times because when I start talking about donuts, I go into like a fever dream. Dunkin' Donuts used to make a blueberry buttermilk biscuit, and it was glazed. It hit your stomach like an anchor, but it was so worth it. The only thing that they have closest to it now, they have a blueberry cake donut and it's like lightly glazed. It's good. It'll get the job done, but it's still not the same. I need some good donuts. Mariano's Donuts is the only one that I can really rely on. They make a great cronut, although I think they call it a dosant. Anyhow, if you have a Mariano's around you, check it out. They're incredible. Now, moving on to big and breaking news. Miley Cyrus and whatever Hemsworth she's married to announced the divorce. This is making news left and right. It's on the front page of Page Six in UK Daily Mail. Unless she is knocking on their house, sitting on one of her wrecking balls, I don't think it's that big of a surprise. This is not like a Nick and Jessica, which I think we're all still reeling from. I remember waking up one early morn around Thanksgiving and they announced the breakup, and I felt like I was in the relationship with them. It was what, 04, 05? I know I was either newly engaged or newly married, and it really ruined Thanksgiving break for me. Thanks, Nick and Jessica. You ruined Thanksgiving 04, maybe 05. All right, what else? Oh, okay, I'm only going to touch on this here because I will talk about this on Patreon. It's one of the things that is inspiring me to tackle hypocrisy lately. This Meghan Markle Vogue cover. I know this happened a couple weeks ago, but I can't get past it. Let me just say, I think she's great. I think she's beautiful. She's under a microscope. I understand that she's getting a lot of criticism. Some of it, I think, she's bringing on herself. I mean, you can't ask for $3 million of taxpayer money to renovate your mansion and then say, I want all the privacy of a private citizen. There's just a lot of things like that. This Vogue magazine, the entire issue, she was like one of the co-editors and designed the whole thing. The cover, however, really, if that's not a kick in the gut to the authors of the book that she was featured in, that had the exact same cover. Yeah, take that in for a moment. She was in a book and worked with the authors from this other book a couple years ago. The cover is like the exact same thing as this Vogue cover. Now, I'm not saying she purposely did it, but, you know, much like, oh God, okay, Miley Cyrus, speaking of the devil, not the devil. Don't come after me, Miley Cyrus fans, like the Beyonce fans did, okay? She's talented, she can sing. My point being, remember when Miley Cyrus had that cake in front of her and it said like abortion is healthcare or something like that? And it was a blatant ripoff from the Sweet Feminist on Instagram. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Even if you didn't mean to do it, when you see something side by side and it's the same, at least just fess up to it or apologize. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, so it's something that's just bothering me. I'm going to flesh it out on Patreon, do a little more research. All right, Jeffrey Epstein found dead of an alleged suicide. There is a lot of speculation that he did not commit suicide, that he was murdered behind bars. It does seem awfully suspicious. He would be found hanging when there are no items supposedly that he had that he could be hung. And that if he was under 24-hour surveillance and suddenly that video footage is missing, some people are saying Bill Clinton sent murderers in to kill him, or there's people that, obviously, there's going to be people that are going to be brought down in this investigation that would want him dead so that he couldn't speak. But what I don't think these people are remembering is Jeffrey Epstein does not need to say anything. The victims are going to say what happened, and they are going to say the names. And good riddance to everyone involved. I hope the heavy hand of the law comes down on them hard. Oh, what else? Oh, okay. Well, this is perfect. I was perusing my blind items, as I do, especially on a late night and I have an insomnia. Man, I go into some deep, dark places on the internet. Word on the street, James Franco allegedly is going to get the legal hashtag MeToo hammer handed to him pretty damn soon. Now, if you don't know anything about this, James Franco was teaching a class at NYU or something, and all these stories started trickling out how he was taking advantage of women, really just putting them in very, I don't even want to say awkward. He was just basically a predator. And when all this Me Too movement stuff happened, his name got brought up, but then all of a sudden just kind of like disappeared. Well, like I said, a lot of people are talking, and I think a lot more people are going to be talking, and he's going to go bye-bye, allegedly. Lastly, I'm going to round this out with really just some heavy-hitting journalism, if you will. This was also on the front page of UK Daily Mail. Get ready. I mean, you might need to sit down. This is really serious stuff. Kim Kardashian's daughter, North, is the, quote, ultimate fashionista as she styles her own outfits on the family vacation in Japan. Kids don't style their own outfits. They put on clothes. Throw on a pair of circle leggings from Target, glasses from Five Below, and a t-shirt that's probably three sizes too small from summer camp 4 years ago. That's also styling an outfit. We have got to stop glorifying, I don't even want to say Kim Kardashian as a star, celebs, people in the news. Oh God, it kills me to even say that because she has no talent. But can we stop with that? Stop giving this girl the same amount of attention, really, that they're giving the whole family. She's not doing anything special. She is putting on clothes, so stop talking about it. And I realize I am talking about it, so I am just as guilty. Listen, I'm fessing up to it too. All right, let's dive into, oh, you guys, I have to talk about 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 Days First. I have some Married at First Sight, Love After Lockup coming up too, but 90 Day, we got to start with the best of the best. I just had to open my door here to get some fresh air because I know by the end of talking about this show, I'm going to be in a full sweat. So I need some fresh air. First, let's talk about Rebecca and I think you say his name, Syed. I'm just going with Syed. It's either Syed or Saeed. If my mom ever talked to me about sex, ever, I would be forced to commit myself into some sort of old school institution, hook me up with the electroshock therapy things, like the guy from The Green Mile. All right. I'm still mortified to this day that my mom knows that I had sex in order to conceive my own children. I was way more comfortable telling her that I was going to be going through IVF with gay men's embryos than I was telling her that Dave and I were having our own child, because that means, you know, we didn't. But Rebecca, she's like extreme opposite end of the spectrum from me. She not only brings her daughter to shop for lingerie, she cannot wait to tell her how she's so horny, like hot down there. Ugh. And Rebecca is cute. Like, she really is a beautiful woman. She does not need to be going to other countries to find available men. Syed has like these nasty labia lips. Okay. I'm gotta say it. I went there. It has to be said. You know, I don't even like saying the word sex. So to say that this guy's got labia lips like Andrew on Teen Mom, you know, Amber's ex, the one who she attacked with a machete, they both have puffy lady lips. Let's just leave it there. Ugh. And you know, I don't care that Rebecca is close to their daughter. Hey, it's actually wonderful. But I can tell you with 100% certainty, I know you moms can agree with me, that no daughter wants to hear you talk about your sex life. I would never, ever talk to my daughter, not now, not then, not now, not ever, about anything having to do with my parts or how I feel other than like menstruation and childbirth. God, I'm like really going there with the female anatomy today. I'll try to do better. Now, meanwhile, in Tunisia, Ziad is, I mean, he's just fresh off jerking off to Rebecca's photos. And we know it because he's keeping her pictures in a Ziploc bag in this big wardrobe that he has. And said wardrobe is covered in lots of questionable residue. I mean, he's not using any product in his hair. We know that because it's all greasy and he's sloppy as shit. So, yeah. He is jerking off 24/7, and then he opens the door and goes and kisses his mother with that same mouth. Now, hear me out. Last week, I think I said that Zayed looks like Stephen Asante, but I think I have a more accurate one for you. The Abominable Snowman from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer claymation style. Sit with that for a minute. Do you see it now? Coming over the mountain, hair all around the face, just like his beard. It's kind of greasy, matty, and he's angry, but he's happy. And then he really just needs love and a dentist. He is the Abominable Snowman. I don't know how we can get Zayed in there. Abomna Zayed. It doesn't work like that, but trust me. He probably is in need of a dentist, because if he's not taking a shower, he's probably not brushing his teeth either. So imagine the surprise that Rebecca must have had when the greasiest snow monster alive picks her up at the airport wearing a t-shirt with her likeness on it. Wow. I mean, nothing would turn me off quicker than seeing my own face staring back at me. But like I said, Rebecca is actually very pretty. And in her Photoshop pictures, I think she actually looks a lot like Rachel Lee Cook. But seeing my own face? No, no, no. That's what I married Dave for. So I didn't have to be the first thing I see in the morning, right? I look at him before I'm going to see my own reflection. You think that this is what famous people feel like? Like, let's say you're a famous singer, songwriter, band member, and your fangirls, fanboys come up to you and they're wearing one of your t-shirts with your face on it. I never thought about that. That is kind of weird. But this is different because you're just a normal, everyday person. I'm just going to chalk it up to a cultural thing, okay? He just doesn't know what shithead spoiled Americans consider weird, and he's just really into her, and shockingly, she's into him. You guys, if they're still together and he is still wearing those Caillou shoes and that red sweatshirt and those, wow, tight pants, let's just hope Rebecca uses her investigative skills to find some real good back-to-school sales at a Kohl's, a Penny's, Sears, anything. Get this guy a new wardrobe. All right, let's talk about this little man I love, my Little Caesar. Oh my God, Little Caesar's Pizza. Oh, do you think Caesar likes Little Caesar's Pizza? Of course he does, because he is like Michael Scott, Michael Gary Caesar Scott. Also a little bit like my Lair Bear. Remember Larry? Oh, Caesar. Well, Caesar has hit ye old internet, did a little research on Ask Jeeves, and he found out Maria lied about not being able to fly out of the Ukraine. This is fantastic news, right? Yeah, not so much, because Maria could not have sounded more annoyed and aloof, and what a bitch. But Caesar does not catch on. He said he was elated. I would have said pee your pants excited. He probably did, you know, piddle a little bit. But God damn it, Caesar. He makes a joke about airplanes, about jumping out of an airplane or an airplane crashing. And I was cringing because right behind him, I hope you guys caught this, there is the name Aaliyah carved into the wooden dock behind him. Remember Aaliyah, who died in the plane crash? And then Missy Elliott dedicated her performance of Get Your Freak on the MTV Music Awards to baby girl Aaliyah. Caesar, how could you? Even in his time of sadness and elation, he gets it wrong. Demoralizes the memory of baby girl Aaliyah. All right, what else? Oh, my favorite, Jim Halpert makes an appearance. I mean, just like Michael Scott, Caesar's got his own Jim Halpert. This guy is hot. I didn't catch his name. Doesn't matter, because I will remember that face forever and ever in my dreams. He's like the best wingman ever. He's a nice guy. He's a good friend. He's trying to support Caesar. And actually, I was following along on Twitter at TLC, the TLC network, and they were saying, first of all, that Caesar spends 85% of his paycheck on Maria. He either sends money to her, buys her things that she says that she wants or needs. 85%, can you believe that? And the jeweler was actually showing Caesar less expensive options, but he said that he wanted to spend at the top of his $200 budget on Maria because she deserved it. I mean, that's so sweet. But Caesar, God, he needs a wingman like our Jim Halpert, but he also needs just like a kick in the head of common sense. Jesus. And did you catch the other jeweler when they were walking out? The guy just goes under his breath, oh, wow. Caesar. I bet you that's what he thinks is like an actual goodbye, because he probably hears that all the time. Whenever he leaves a room, people just go, oh, wow. So with that, oh, wow, Caesar. All right, next up, Avery and Omar. All right, well, Avery is flipping around the gymnastics gym, and oh, the memories it brought me. Little known fact, I was kind of a gymnast back in the day. And back in the day, meaning when I was like less than 75 pounds, which was like, 5 years. And I remember crotching a beam, that pain. Most of us probably are crossing our legs right now because we remember that. I remember in high school, we had to do a gymnastics unit and we had to come up with a routine, a full floor routine, a beam routine. This actually happened. Is this only at my high school because they wanted all of us to have eating disorders and really shitty self-esteems? Can you imagine awkward 13 through 16-year-old girls on a balance beam who are not gymnasts? We are not on the gymnastics team. We are just going to PE. And we are now supposed to be doing cartwheels and splits and little triple turns on the balance beam. It was not pretty. And one of my friends who was actually on the gymnastics team, and when I say on the gymnastics team, it means like, you know, they're not doing club gymnastics. Like they did some somersaults and cartwheels and stuff like that. But during the gymnastics routine, we also had to do a vault, by the way. Like, God, now I look back on this. What the fuck were we doing gymnastics? I mean, someone seriously could have gotten hurt. Kind of like the story that I'm going to tell you. So my friend, I will call her Sally. Sally goes to do her vault. We had to like salute the gym teacher. God, fuck off with that. Oh my God. I would want to smack so many fucks into my PE teachers now that I'm getting these flashbacks. It's like PTSD. So Sally salutes the gym teacher, like Olympic style, runs towards the vault, jumps on that little board thingy, and just Supermans it. Right on top of the vault, like stuck on top of the vault, wind knocked out of every part of her body. Like, I think the blood probably stopped flowing to all of her childbearing organs because it was a thud heard around the gymnastics gym. It was quite the sight to see. And still to this day, I mean, we can like laugh about it now, but it was pretty intense. Not as intense as the conversations that these girls are talking about. I mean, they're talking about, first of all, Avery is turning into Gypsy Blanchard more and more every episode. I'm very concerned about this hat situation. She had like sharp safety pins in her head. That's not going to feel good when she goes to do a forward roll and it just stabs her in the head. But these girls are talking about having sex and marriage and war zones. God, I was such a naive little, like, it would be the equivalent of probably like Laura Ingalls Wilder time. That's what it looked like in my high school years. And here these girls are just talking about, oh God, now I sound very old. So let's just keep going here because I have bigger concerns. And that is what Avery is doing in that bathroom when she gets home. She walks into the bathroom. I don't know if she was like going to brush her teeth or wash her face, but it was like little splashes of water, no soap, and patting her face with her hands. And then she starts smearing every type of virus, Ebola, malaria, pollution, hepatitis. I mean, all of it. She starts spreading on her skin and all over the bathroom. Never, ever, ever in my life have I had to resort to picking up denim to dry my face. She was wearing a denim jacket because I went back and I was like, is this the only thing in the bathroom? No, there was something else on the counter. She took her denim jacket off and used it to dry her face. I mean, you might as well just walk in and smear your face all over dirty underwear or your carpet, a tire, any public transportation seat. I mean, do you even know the things that accumulate in your clothing throughout the day and then you're just going to smear it all over your skin? I am so disgusted. And her mom appears to be a nurse. I think I even saw on her name tag last week, it said RN, or maybe she had like a, what do they call those things? A lanyard. She knows better. Let's just hope she was, washing. Freudian slip. Let's hope her mom watched this and was horrified. Well, I'm just going to assume she just burns the whole house down and starts over from scratch, starts a whole new family. So Avery is off to Lebanon with her mom. And I can only imagine how surreal that would be, especially if you're the type of kid that can't be trusted to keep track of your cell phone. Let's talk about this a moment. At the airport, when she starts yelling at her mom and her grandma that she can't find her phone and leave me alone and I'm going to do what I want to do, right there, you're not ready to get married. You want me to send you into a war zone when you can't even keep track of your phone? You know, if we can't locate your phone with the little Find My Friends app, I'm not letting you cross city limits, ever. I'm full on team Mother Avery here. She's not ready for any of this. I would say she's probably not even ready to move away from home yet. If you are that fickle and that irrational when you lose your phone, okay, now I'm really kind of exaggerating it here, but I think we can all agree it's just not a good idea. Now, Darcy, you guys, I really don't want to talk about her. It's so stupid. Every week is going to be the same thing. Her going out with her friends or her going out with Stace, pretending that they're Miranda and Carrie from Sex and the City. It's so freaking lame and overdone. It's just like Jesse Von Trapp 2.0. And the packing scene, all I saw was future yeast infection all over the floor. I've never seen anyone own so much pleather. All right. Well, Timothy might. He actually really might, because this guy, fuck. The comparison that someone made between Timothy and the Grinch, who plays the Grinch? Jim Carrey? I mean, that's fucking genius. Spot on. And Timothy might be a nice guy, like under the douchey exterior with the oddly small body to head ratio and very irritating vocal fry, but I can't get past his style. He would be the guy with like the black Metro motorcycle jacket, you know, the $1 million listing wardrobe. And that's where I draw the line with guys that I can watch on TV. I hate that douche factor. Speaking of drawing the lines, let's talk about this boundary issue that comes up. I'm curious to see if you guys like the ex or not. I mean, besides the fact that she's like a baritone version of Angela, is she inserting herself into his relationship or is she just looking out for him as a friend? My immediate reaction is to say, oh, she's just stirring the pot. She's trying to start shit, especially that shirt and the sheer top she was wearing. But I do think she does truly care about him and she does want the best for him. You think production was maybe just egging her on to go and start something? I don't know. I think we need to see the ex and the current girlfriend. What's her name? Jenny. We need to see them interact. Oh, but almost forgot this. I did make a revelation about Timothy's look. Obviously, the Grinch, again, whoever said that, genius. But remember that special talent that I have for detecting people who, or identifying people who had the little person genes? Timothy is definitely a carrier. No genetic testing needed. He will have a little person child in his near future. It may not be his child. It might be like his grandchild. Like I'm getting a psychic medium feel about this, but on the genetic level, it's totally okay. I mean, I'm all for like little people. I just watched the first two episodes of, not Little People, Big World. Whew. Don't get me started, Audge. The Little Couple, big fan. My kids love them. I'm all for little people. I'm just saying, I think Timothy's going to have one. Now, you know, I always save the best couple for last. And this week, it's not your elder, Angela. And I did the BJ, Michael. Angela is living her best life this season. She's got a new Mazda Miata, and it is filled with nothing but cigarettes. I saw a Skechers Shape Up in the back and a shit ton of Walmart scrunchies. And Instagram be damned, Angela don't care. She is taking a risk despite Michael's showboating on Instagram. And she's heading out with her friend named Dottie. Dottie. Of course she has a friend named Dottie. How did we not know this before? So they're going off to visit a potential wedding venue called the Cotton Patch. Without a doubt, this place used to host mini golf. There was a big rain and it flooded. That is the only way to describe what this place looked like. There's no rhyme or reason for all these docks and piers. There's a fountain, but it's like below sea level. What the fuck is going on? And it's run by the one and only DJ Doug. Now, in addition to my ability to identify the little person gene, I also can detect Amish with like 99.9% accuracy. Doug most certainly has some Amish. If not a few years past his Rumspringa, there's some lineage there. And I have to give him credit that he didn't just raise his Confederate flag when Angela said Nigeria and open all the doors in the same sentence. We got to give it to him. He held it together. And that's the first step, right? For $6,000 to $8,000, you can change Dougie's mind about anything. Now enter Skyla. Not Skyler, not Twyla, Skyla. That's a new one for me. Now, she is Angela's other daughter, not Scotty, because, you know, clink, clink. Yeah, Scotty, in case you didn't know, is in prison for, like, kiddie porn or some shit, possibly worse. I honestly don't know. I don't want to know. But let's get down to it. Angela wants her daughter, Skyla, to be either her egg donor and or surrogate. She has no fucking idea how this works. You guys already all know that I was a gestational surrogate. I know how this works. A lot of you do too, because you have common sense. You don't just put someone on the spot about a decision like that. And then to say, what do you need to give me an answer right now? I can tell you it's going to take a lot more than grilled cheese and a fries, bitch. Like, this is a life-changing thing. If she were to give an egg, she would have a biological child that would be her, what, sister and also child. I mean, it's just, like, complicated right there. Also, if you are going to have Skyla be your surrogate, what about all the costs of IVF? I mean, first of all, are you going to get an egg donor? Are you going to ask her to be a traditional surrogate, which would be using her egg and Michael's sperm? Clearly, she has not researched this because the cost of IVF procedures alone, egg donors and storing your eggs and your embryos, all that kind of stuff, unless she's going to do her own backwoods version of it, which I don't even want to know what she thinks she would have to do to get that involved. Wow. She really is the gift that keeps on giving. Angela, Michael. Boy, it's going to be a great season. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, let's talk, oh, some Married at First Sight and Love After Lockup. All right, let's talk Love After Lockup, Life After Lockup. I'm really looking forward to the new season because these guys are getting kind of old and stale, right? The season really could have wrapped up 2 weeks ago and I think we would all be fine. But let's try to round out this episode, starting with Brittany and Marcelino. The only thing we found out was that she got 60% custody, yay, thumbs up, and they ask Sasha to be Zoila's grandmother. Oh my God, there's a gnat flying around in here. That scared the shit out of me. Jesus. Okay, that's like Marcelino trying to just torture me right now. He morphs into gnats and he comes after me because I always talk shit about him. But I'm not going to say anything about Marcelino this time. I do want to talk about Brittany. Big question I have for you, stylist out there. What's going on with her red hair? I think I like it, but there's something about it that's not quite right. Like, I don't know if it's the tone or if she needs variation in there, some lowlights, highlights. Something about it is off, but I do think she can pull off red in some way. I also want to talk about her style. I know I'm being very materialistic. Ugh, that's a little foreshadowing to the Married at First Sight episode. Yikes, what the hell went down there? But yeah, let's talk about Brittany for a second. I don't think she dresses for her age or her personality, or like the clothes wear her, she doesn't wear the clothes kind of thing. She's very into Kohl's, Sonoma, Croft and Barrow look, but it doesn't suit her. Like, I was trying to think of what would Britney look really good in. I don't think bold colors are a good choice for her. It seems to age her. But if I were to style her, I wouldn't go too distressed because then she could look a little rough. So maybe a light distressed jean with a gauzy top. Or is that too boho? Do you see what I'm saying? She's so pretty and she can be very put together, but I don't know what I would put her in. Someone help me out here. Okay, Sarah, Michael, and Megan. We left off where Sarah and Michael are going to get a divorce because, you know, Michael's a cheating, selfish, fickle piece of shit. And despite Michael saying that he wants a fresh start, he's not on parole anymore, he flies off to see Megan. And as he pulls up to tell Megan how he wants to have another chance, he treated her like shit, he did the wrong thing, well, ring-a-ding-ding. Some other woman calls Michael on the phone and starts talking about how she's taking her kids to the park, and it is neither Sarah nor Megan. So, yeah, parole status may change, but Michael never does. Speaking of something that did change, I'm going to jump to Clinton Tracy here. His given birth name is Clinton. We did not know this. This is a huge game changer for me, and I can't tell you exactly why. But it makes me like and respect Alice and Kendall so much more. I feel like when they named their only child, their only son, Clinton, they had high hopes for him. It's a solid name, kind of formal. And then, likely at some point, probably in preschool, he just went to Clint. It was probably a lot easier for his teachers and parents to scold him and yell across the room, Clint, when he was being mischievous. Clint also strikes me as the kind of kid who had his parents fooled that he was this sweet boy, sweet Clinton, and it was really just the teacher's fault. It's the kid's fault for picking on him. And then as Clinton further transformed into Clint, his ability to manipulate got better and better. His Clint flower bloomed. Clinton is dead and Clint lives here now. Clint with the crazy eyes, he's gonna murder someone. I'm telling you, there's murder and lots of other shit in his eyes. Probably some sort of eye drops because he's high as fuck as well. Oh, if you didn't know, how did I not say this first? Tracy was arrested over the weekend for, was it meth or crack? Heroin, something. But it's like sad at this point. She has an asymmetrical haircut, kind of Edward Scissorhands-ish. Oh, God, things are not looking good for her. I think she could face up to like another 5 or 10 years. You know, Alice was probably thrilled because she's behind bars and not in her grocery store, but it's just sad. She clearly needs some help. So let's just leave that there and talk about someone else who has a drug addiction, and that would be Scott. So Lizzie is still at his house, badgering him, gaslighting him. Yeah, I still don't like her. You know, she's in the street yelling at him that they are not together. Yeah, remember when she got in the car, drove across the fucking country, accepted jewelry from this man, kissing all up on him earlier, and she was even jealous. Oh, God, I always forget the roommate's name. Shailene something, whatever. She's jealous of her saying he's my man, but now all of a sudden she's very adamant and in the street saying that they are not together. It's confusing for me, so God only knows how confused Scott and his remaining 3 neurons are processing all this. The only way he knows to solve a problem is to throw money at it, and he literally throws singles, maybe there was like a 20 in there, throws money at Lizzie in the street, and then he goes full on Britney, grabs a tree trunk, like a full armature of a tree, is that a thing? Whatever. And just goes at it on his own car. Like, why would you do that to your own, I think it was a Honda CRV. Talk about a glutton for punishment. What a fucking idiot. And Lizzie, who, let's talk about this for a moment. This was very dark to me. She goes back to Wisconsin because Jasmine is graduating. And in the background, there's a poster that says, Mom and Me, and there's pictures of Jasmine and her mom all over it. That was really telling and really sad because Jasmine wants this relationship with her mom so badly, and she's in that abusive cycle of relationship where she thinks, if I do this, my mom is going to love me. If I show my mom how much I love her, she's going to treat me with the same unconditional love and respect and loyalty. And does Lizzie do that? No. She went behind Jasmine's back and then is like, oh, well, I'll just apologize later and she'll accept my apology, which is what Jasmine does because she's stuck in this cycle of Lizzie being a real narcissistic bitch. My opinion of her has not changed at all. I thought it was really, really sad. Okay, Andrea and Lamar. Stupid Andrea. I mean, even the way she kidnaps and holds hostage is idiotic. She locks herself in the bathroom. And then she blames Lamar's family, who is hundreds of miles away, that she's in this situation. My God, she is truly that special kind of stupid. She doesn't see the irony or the hypocrisy at all when Lamar steals her shit the same way she stole his. She's yelling at him that he's stupid, which had me cackling because, hey, pot meet kettle. She's just that fun kind of idiot that you can love to watch him because they're so convinced of their own cleverness. Oh my God, it's just the best. And you know that whole block was peering out their blinds, as would I be, to see what the hell is going on at that house that's being rented out probably as an Airbnb. And it's kind of sweet, actually, that Lamar thinks it's the Mormon's fault that Andrea is acting crazy. I mean, he really loves his wife to think that it's not her fault. I mean, on the other hand, you know, don't bring Mormons into this, Lamar, right? I mean, Andrea is the one that's crazy. She's the one who told her kids that they were moving and then basically human trafficked Lamar without him knowing. You know, don't bring Joseph Smith and Cody Brown into it. That's very sweet that you want to protect your wife, but oh no, it's not the Mormon's fault. It's just Andrea. Everything is Andrea's fault. I think I'm just going to say that whenever something goes wrong. God damn it, Andrea. Okay, I really Andrea'd it. I'm really Andrea-ing it as I am pulling up my Married at First Sight notes. Give me just a moment. Lord knows I don't want to Evelyn Cormier this. Evelyn and Andrea it. Oh my God, that would be a bad day. Okay, here we are. Married at First Sight. Ah, yes. The 1 month anniversaries where the husbands planned and executed everything lovingly for their wives. Yeah, right. You know, it was production and some PA having to scatter rose petals everywhere. Now let's talk about Iris and Keith. Really just talking about Iris. She's in a swimming pool. Her mom is sitting on the side, and it was very uncomfortable to watch. I felt like I was watching a sex ed video back in fifth grade. Like, this scene had to have been taped for distribution of that age range, right? It seems like it should be on a VHS tape. They call all the girls into every fifth grade room across America, and they watch this. Down to Iris's swimsuit. It's like a toddler modesty level suit from start to finish was Babysitter's Club Marianne Gets the Talk After School Special. I mean, it's weird that Iris needs her mom's permission to have sex, right? We're all in agreement of that. Like, this conversation would have been more appropriate if she were 17, 18, not 20 something. All right, well, for their anniversary, it's super boring. She gets a heart-shaped necklace. I'm not a fan of heart-shaped jewelry, but that's just my own taste. And she gives him vinyl records. I actually thought that was super clever and really cute, although I would have handed the records to him for him to go through them, not her give it to him and open it herself. A little strange to me, but that kind of goes along with the everything's about Iris attitude that I think that she has. Okay, I'm going to save Elizabeth and Jamie for last because, of course, let's talk about Amber and Matt. Matt has zero personality. It just clicked with me watching this episode that he never says anything. The only words that come out of his mouth is, that's cool. She looks sexy. Yeah, that's cool. Like, do they ever have an actual conversation? They talk a lot about sex and, oh, I like kissing you and all that bullshit. But other than that, what does this guy have to offer? It's always Amber asking the big questions. She's always the one initiating conversation and sex, but he gets away with just saying, coo, and then laughing awkwardly with his mouth really wide open. And he seems to be getting uglier to me. I'm really going there today. I mean, his style is reverting back to like 1993. He's got this weird, actually, it's not even retro or yuppie. It's just an ugly shirt, pulled up socks, and then the worst of the worst, the acoustic guitar. Is there anything douchier than a guy who whips out his guitar like that? I cannot with guys playing guitar. I mean, if you're in a band or performance group, by all means, go and play your guitar, and you're probably going to look sexy up there. But don't be that guy that whips out his guitar and starts strumming like the Beatles. I'm thinking of a very specific person that I went to high school with. He would take out his guitar and he would close his eyes and he'd be like, yesterday. That might have been the first time I ever got cringe sweats, was watching that. I may have even gagged. I just can't with guys in guitars like that. And Matt singing this Diamonds and Pearls song, he sung this to, what, no less than 10 women before, right? This guy cannot be trusted. And of course, does Amber catch on to it? No. She just sits there all goo-goo gaga over him, begging for kisses, and no, we're two peckers. Ugh, I just feel so badly for her. This is not going to end well from what I hear. Now let's talk about Deanna and Greg very quickly before we get onto the train wreck from this episode. I think Pastor Cal has a couple's crush on Deanna and Greg. He might just be living in the house with them at this point because he cannot get enough of them. I don't like what he's doing with them because I feel like it's really manipulative. You know, when you sit down and you tell someone who isn't sure how they feel, like Deanna and Greg, they like each other, right? They might be falling for each other, but Cal is telling them that they are in love. Like, doesn't that cross some sort of ethical lines? He's putting ideas in their head like, I know how you're feeling, but you don't know how you're feeling. I don't like that. That's bullshit. I think it's messing with their mind. Maybe I'm projecting something here that I need to dig deeper on, but I'm just really anxious to talk about Elizabeth and Jamie, so let's jump into it. So for the Seinfeld's anniversary, Jamie gives Elizabeth this heart-shaped necklace. They're at their wedding venue. Again, the heart-shaped necklace, and for $400, you know, I looked that shit up on Tiffany, I just think you could get a nicer piece of jewelry, but whatever, she liked it. She seems to be in the moment. They're into each other. Jamie seems to be in a fairly good mood, but all of a sudden, things get real tense, or at least Jamie's tense, but Elizabeth doesn't pick up on it. They're outside, they're looking at their wedding album, and she's pointing things out on herself. Now, I think most women might be thinking these things like, oh God, my boobs look too big here. She's very confident. So she's saying like, oh, I look good there. I look good there. Again, she's saying things that most of us would say in our heads. She's saying them aloud. Well, this pisses Jamie off because he thinks she should be all about them as a couple. I see what he's saying. However, she's being honest. She's being herself. If it bothered him that much, he should have just said something in the moment, even joking around like, oh, okay, well, do you see that I'm in this picture too? Ha ha ha. Very easy, get past it. But no, we find out later through secret cam footage, again, great business model, we find out that they had a huge argument. Jamie said Elizabeth is a materialistic, see you next Tuesday, and she got upset by this because of course she's going to. Jamie's a name caller. That's always a bad sign. You know, Dave and I have arguments just like every couple does, or every couple should. I think if you don't argue, one of you is miserable and keeping your mouth shut. Anyhow, we argue and we disagree, but we don't name call. I think the name calling thing is, oof, that's a slippery slope. And especially what he called her, that's pretty unforgivable. And I think Elizabeth would probably fess up to being somewhat materialistic. But to call her a cunt and then to storm off and use that, well, if I leave, it's going to be a divorce as leverage, that's pretty shitty because he's being manipulative, saying, if you tell me to leave, we're getting a divorce, but he's the one saying he wants to leave. So it's no win for her either way. And as much as I hate to admit it, I think I was wrong about Elizabeth. Coming into this, she was a very big, annoying personality, but I think she's kind of in the right on this one. Again, I don't really relate to looking at pictures of myself and liking what I see, but good for her if she does. I think it's great if she's looking at a picture and is like, oh my God, I look really pretty in that one. That's a great picture of us. This is just a bad, bad mix. I'm anxious to see what happens, though, because remember that preview? I think it might have been the first week where one of the experts is in the bedroom and Elizabeth snaps at him and the expert, the new Dr. Jessica, is like, excuse me? I'm wondering what's going to go down there. I think Jamie might be manipulating what he's saying to the experts to make himself look like the good guy. And seems like that's what Elizabeth is saying, too. I really, really like this season. Minus Deanna and Greg, because they're kind of boring. And, well, I guess Iris and Keith. So I guess I really just like watching the train wreck that is Amber and Matt and Elizabeth and Jamie. All right, so let me take a quick break and we will be back with another new train wreck of a show. Let's get into some unexpected. In the great words of Lieutenant Joe Kenda, my, oh my, oh my, Unexpected is one of the best shows on TV. It's one of those shows that actually I wasn't planning on recapping because, you know, there's only so much Teen Mom I can take. And I've told you guys this before. There's only so much room on my young and pregnant plate. Oh God, that's another show. Jesus Christ. Okay, what I'm trying to say is, I wasn't planning on recapping it because, you know, Teen Mom OG, Teen Mom 2, there's a lot of it. But I watched the first episode because so many of you were asking me, Jody, are you recapping it? This season is amazing. And you were not lying. There are some new couples on here I hate more than I hated Diego. I'm going to jump right into it. Of course, I have to start with Haley and Matthew. Matthew makes Diego, remember last season, Diego and Emily? He makes Diego look like super dad, like dad of the year. This guy is such an asshole. You know Herbie the elf from Rudolph? I know I'm going like deep into Rudolph claymation this week. He's like a version of Herbie the wannabe dentist elf, but he didn't get the full claymation treatment. Like maybe they dropped him mid clay formation. He didn't make it to dentistry school. He probably actually never even made it to a dentist because this kid's teeth are a shade of plaque-covered yellow like nothing I've ever seen, probably since Stephen Asante. I got Asante on the brain. It is no wonder Haley didn't want to kiss him. Now, I don't know what kind of sex they had or what sex looks like between these two because, well, first of all, they're like 16 and I don't want to go to prison for life. We know what happened to Epstein. But they didn't make out until after they've had sex. So logistically, if we had to think about this, did they just like lay there? Did they probably had sex like the way I thought sex worked before I figured it all out way too late in life at like age 14. I'm not even kidding. I didn't have sex at 14, but I think I figured out like what goes where. I thought it was more of, oh God. All right. I truly am going there this week for you guys. I thought it was more of like a hot dog in a bun situation. I didn't know it was like a corn dog situation, if you will. Jesus. I'm going to never want to have sex or corn dog again. Okay. But there's more. This kid, Matthew, says he didn't use a condom. I'm going to gag. Because this super lustful sexual encounter, he wanted to wet his noodle. Wet his noodle. I've never heard of that in my life. And he said this in front of Haley's mother. Like, he thinks he is a real hoot. He is a riot, this comedian. Oh, the laughs. He and Haley, they're just laughing over his wet noodle and their baby sonogram. Oh my God, our daughter has six toes. Isn't that hilarious? He is the worst. Worse than Shaden, worse than Diego. And both of these kids, I'm very concerned for their health because right now, Matthew is probably, oh, I don't know, like 64 pounds soaking wet. But trust me, they're both going to be 600 pounds and in a diabetic shock because the amount of sugar they are consuming is truly alarming. They're eating at this ice cream shop and they both have double scoops. And when I'm talking about a scoop size, it's like the size of a baby's head. The size of a baby's head crowning. This is a really good reference for these dummies. And on top of the ice cream, or actually on the side, he's got a bowl full of, I think, like Oreo cookie crumbles. And he's eating that with a spoon. And she's on the other side of the table gulping down a Coke, which she calls a soft drink. She's big on the soft drinks. And she's pounding banana pudding ice cream. I've never heard of banana pudding ice cream being tasty with a Coke. That sounds like a death sentence. Again, thank God she is not, what is that, preeclampsic? Wow, am I even saying that right? I'm turning just as stupid as these people. All right, well, there's more. Matthew calls Haley a hippo because she doesn't want to move. Real sweet, this one. And honestly, to a certain extent, he's right because Haley's always calling for her mom to get things for her, bring her things. Again, on the soft drinks. I want a soft drink. There's got to be a soft drink somewhere. Now I know how annoying it is when people probably hear me say pop instead of soda or Coke or whatever you want to call it. The mom, we need a moment to talk about her. I think her name is Tanya, but for all intents and purposes, let's just call her Mother Haley. She lets Matthew move in with them. She knows they're having sex all the time because she's walked in on them time and time again. She's giggling about it with Haley, but I'm going to give Mother Haley a break because come to find out, she has something called PTSD, also known as, according to Dr. Matthew, post-traumatic Down syndrome. I'm not joking. How many times was he dropped on his head as an infant? Because this is unbelievable. But why does she have PTSD, post-traumatic Down syndrome, you ask? Well, turns out she was kidnapped when she was younger. I know, Scout, we're all traumatized by watching this. She was kidnapped when she was younger, so of course she's going to be a little cuckoo, right? She's going to get a full ride pass from me. Not on the letting Matthew live with them thing, because it's a precursor. It's the introduction to your daughter getting pregnant. Same thing happened last season with Kelsey and Lexus. Well, the first thing was she named her daughter Lexus, but whatever. Now, Matthew is, like I said, 64 pounds. He is the dork of all dorks. He has his friends over and they have something called a diaper party, which I actually think is a fantastic idea because you always need diapers. But he opens the package of diapers and they start using them to practice. Now, I am frugal as can be, as I think all moms are, and those diapers are precious. You do not go wasting those things laughing and dicking around with your friends. Now, they're at this baby class, labor delivery doula class, and he is sitting on one of those birthing balls. He's rolling around. Again, he thinks he is hilarious. He thinks all the other couples in the class wanting to learn about labor and delivery are just yucking it up with him. No, they think he's annoying as fuck. He's rolling around on the ball. He leans back on it, flips over the birthing ball, knocks over a table, and he's just laughing away. And so are Haley. So is Haley's mom. Oh, and Matthew's sister is there because for some reason, she's some big important person that we have to have there for the labor and delivery, despite the fact that she has never met Haley before. So yeah, come on in. Come and meet me and my cervix at the same time. All right, so what else? Oh, okay, right. Instead of rubbing Haley's back and pretending like she's in labor, he's doing it to his sister. Ew. I don't know whether I think he is a dick, a dork, a douchebag, all of the above. You tell me. Okay, now let's go with a couple that we know from last season, Michaela and Kaylin. Michaela is 18 and she is 36 weeks pregnant with her second baby. If you remember, she and Kaylin already have a son named Timmy. He's about, I think, 18 months at this point. And Michaela says he's crazy. No, he's just a toddler, sweetheart. I can tell by the way that he's playing around. He is a normal toddler. He is not crazy. That's the way it works when you're going for round two that close together. I had two of them 13 months apart. And also, for the record, when she's talking about Timmy doesn't understand that the baby is here and that the baby is going to come, and I'll just say Timmy, baby. No, he does understand. You just need to try. And she said, well, he just doesn't listen. Well, don't use that as an excuse. That's how you end up with kids like Shannon and you. Try, and trust me, they'll surprise you. Now, you know that I always appreciate a grandfather Tim and a grandmother Cindy. She's looking great. I think she lost some weight. I'm glad Tim is healthy. I appreciate that he is annoyed with Michaela being pregnant again. However, besides just chuckling at Michaela's bratty, selfish attitude, can we ask the tough questions, please? For example, why are you trying to induce your own labor at 36 weeks pregnant? Yes, you're technically full term, but that baby has easily another 4 weeks to cook. So it's not about you being uncomfortable and you're pregnant again and you're running around after an 18-month-old. It's about the baby, not about you. Now, that is my theory on why I think Michaela moves out of the home that she is sharing with Kaylin and her son. They have this great little house. It looks nice and clean, nice hardwood floors, a nice paint job. She says she needs an extra set of hands because Kaylin's gone working all day, so she's home alone taking care of their son. Oh, you poor thing. You mean the father of your child, the man that you chose to make a baby with and another baby with, is gone at a stable job so he can pay the bills? Oh, he's not paying enough attention to you. Oh my gosh. Well, by all means, you have to move back in with your grandparents because that's what's best for your kids. No, no. Hopefully you're sensing the sarcasm here. Am I the only one thinking that we have a Shannon 2.0 in the making? It's always about Michaela. Oh, there's more too. Just you wait. You know that house that Michaela moved out of that Kaylin set up very nicely for their soon-to-be family of four? Well, before Michaela up and left, she adopted three puppies in addition to a dog that they already have. So now Kaylin has four dogs pissing all over his carpet because, again, he's gone at work all day. Right there shows you how indecisive and flippant and selfish Michaela is. I don't buy the sweet little doe-eye blinking bullshit. She says her grandparents support her emotionally and sometimes financially only if she needs it, and that she doesn't get that from Kaylin. Okay, take a moment. I'm going to take a moment too before I have a heart attack. He's working, Michaela. It's not as if he has just gone all day dicking around like all these other dads. Kaylin is supporting you emotionally and financially when he is paying your rent and bills and he is wanting to be there for you and your kids. What the fuck else do you want? Have I mentioned Shelly is back, looking as gorgeous as ever and as rational as ever? And damn, she is fair, although she doesn't like the stuff that Michaela is doing. She is very nice to her. She's taking her for pedicures and manicures. That would be far more than I could do if I had a son that was with some chick like her. So here is the bottom line. Let's just call it like it is. Michaela doesn't want to be a mom all day taking care of her own children. She wants her grandparents to help her all day. Now, why does she want that? She wants that because she wants to be able to sit down, take a shower, do a few little things for herself because she's got two extra set of hands. Understandable, right? However, don't you think that's the same thing that Kaylin says that he needs every once in a while to be able to go and do something by himself, maybe go and watch a TV show by yourself? That's normal, Michaela. That's healthy. You maybe, you know, go out for a night. Maybe you go get your manicure and pedicure with Shelly. You refill your cup, you recharge your batteries, then you come home, you're a better partner, you're a better parent. Michaela does not understand that. She's getting all the pampering and the spoiling from her grandparents because they allow her to just shirk off the responsibility. It's easier for her to live with her grandparents. And when she says stuff like, "It's true, Papa, I don't make the best decisions. Tee-hee-hee-hee." No, it's not cute. Tim, Cindy, why are you laughing at that shit? She's not a kid anymore. She's a mother of two. Michaela wants to be able to have that same kind of kiss-assy relationship with Kalen, where he's supposed to give everything to her 24/7 without a break, but she doesn't want to give the same thing. She's a spoiled brat. End of story. Okay, let's go on. You know, let's go back and forth. Let's go with a new couple here. Tyra and Alex. Oh my God. The immaturity of this girl when she first came on. I'm not saying she's winning me over, but her very first impression was not a good one. They're sitting on the couch and she's like, "Alex, oh my God, don't tell them about the first time we had sex. Okay, don't. Alex, don't. It's so embarrassing. Stop. Okay, tell them." No, seriously, go and tell them. It was in the back of a van, my mom's van. It was in a parking lot. Oh my God. Why did you tell them, Alex? Why did you tell them about the van? My mom's gonna kill me. No, I am not so sure your mom's gonna kill you because, well, not only did Tyra find out she was pregnant when she was 20 weeks along, count that, 5 months along, her sister, who is 16, already has a 4-month-old. This is not a new situation for Tyra's mom. Mother Melissa is a very sleepy and slash or high 38-year-old woman. Point of reference, I'm a fresh 39, yet Melissa is a grandmother. Wow. And it gets better from here, or worse, however you want to look at it. So Tyra's mom and her aunt, Mother Melissa and her aunt, were pregnant at the same time when they were teenagers, so Tyra has a cousin who's her age. That cousin also has a baby. So we have Tyra and her sister, baby girl, same time. Then we have the cousin with a daughter at the same time. So we're like third generation of future mothers at risk. And the cousin and Tyra and her sister are all laughing like, "Oh my God, we're all going to have girls and they're going to be cheerleaders and then they can get pregnant." And then it goes on and on and on. Now, Tyra. Why is she pregnant in the first place? Because, you know, one would think, I was a teen mom. My one daughter's already pregnant. Tyra was pregnant before, but she miscarried. We don't know a lot about that situation. Let's just skip past that. She should have known better. But, you know, she has cheer practice 4 times a week and school. She can't be expected to remember to take a pill every day. I mean, with all of that on her busy schedule, Jesus, what can we expect from kids these days? Now, her boyfriend, Alex, I think he seems okay. He's a good-looking kid. I think it is very bizarre that he shares his deodorant with Tyra's mom. No one is using my deodorant, like maybe my daughter if she had to. But to me, that's just like sharing your toothbrush. That's disgusting. Maybe it's because he doesn't really have a good role model with females, or maybe Tyra's mom and sister were kind of flirting with him. I got that impression, but maybe I'm just reading the room wrong. But poor Alex, man. He seems like a good kid so far. There's always that chance that, you know, you could end up being a real asshole. But his grandma raised him, and then his mom comes to the baby shower, and she looks like a weird Velma from Scooby-Doo. She has hair over half her eye, so I don't know if she's got an eye patch or something under there. She wasn't around when Alex was younger. Alex's dad wasn't around, and it's, surprise, surprise, the same situation for Tyra. So I guess they could be bonded in that. Maybe they'll be better parents. Who knows? I think we're going to have more bumps and thorns on our roses. I'm throwing a little Bachelor reference out there, even though I don't watch it, with Chloe and Max. Oh yes, Caillou is back. Now, if you don't listen to, you know, one of my besties, Amanda from Amanda Loves to Hate Teen Mom, she recaps old episodes of Unexpected. I don't know if it's on her main podcast or on her Patreon, but she cannot stand Chloe's mom. And I kind of get it, but I like Chloe's mom. I wouldn't say like, oh, I would be besties with her. I just think Caillou slash Max is the worst. He calls her a bitch And he's a total asshole to everyone in the family. So if I were Chloe's mom, I forgot her name, Jessica maybe, I wouldn't allow Max in the house either. And if he wanted things to change, if he wants to be able to go to Chloe's house to see his daughter more, to have a better relationship with them, you think he'd have enough sense in his pan face Caillou head to shut his mouth when he's being interviewed on national TV instead of cursing out his parents? What a fucking idiot. And why can't Chloe bring Ava, the baby, to Max's house? Why does she have to just pick him up and go drive around? Are she and the baby not allowed in Max's house? Is there a whole hypocrisy thing going on there? Riddle me that, Max. I can't wait to hear the reasoning for that. Okay, another couple. Actually, I think our last couple, a new one this year. I don't know where this one's going to go. There might be a little paternity snafu coming up. So Ryla and Anthony, they have been together for 3 years. And you guys, they're made for each other. Really cute story. You're going to love this one. The first time Ryla saw Anthony, she was like, oh my God, that new kid is so cute. And then he turned his head and she saw the size of his nose. And she was like, oh my God, your nose is so gross. You're so ugly. And he had a big backpack and she was all like, you're lame. But she was able to look all past that because, you know, MFEO, made for each other. Name that classic movie for bonus points. So Ryla's mom, Rosa, I like her. She's an RN. She's a labor delivery nurse. She's got her shit together. She's got other kids. So she decides that it's best to move to this new house. But of course, Ryla's pissed because the new house is an hour away from Anthony. So boo hoo. Well, I don't feel bad for her because the house looks super cute. So she's got to quit her bitching. She's got a nice room of her own, cute house, lots of chalkboards all over the place. Don't understand that. But what the hell? What do you have to be bitching about? Your mom seems pretty supportive. Now, there is a scene where Anthony tries putting this crib together and the guy, I mean, I could have put that thing together in 20 minutes or less. It's not some complicated IKEA Twersdorf couch or some shit. I think he has the potential to be a good dad if he is indeed the dad, because turns out he and Ryla broke up. They were separated, and then all of a sudden he got a phone call saying, I'm pregnant. Okay, well, that is unexpected for the week. I will hopefully have some 90 Day Fiancé the other way, a recap of that next week. I know I didn't have one this week, but hey, I got to live and breathe and raise some kids so that they're not unexpected. If you are interested in Patreon, check that out, patreon.com/realitybpod. Total Request podcast this week, Amanda and I are going to be recapping Kel on Earth. Kelly Catrone, remember her? That is at patreon.com/AmandaandJody. Moms on the Rocks, don't forget to check it out. It is not just for moms. We're talking true crime, mysteries, all that other kind of bullshit. So check it out, Moms on the Rocks in your favorite podcast app. All of those links are easy in the show notes. Thank you for supporting the show. Please subscribe, share, leave a 5-star review. That's how I get lots more listeners and I can provide all the content that you want. Thank you so much. And until next time, have a great week and stay salty.